Hello. Good morning. There are some technology glitches, but we can start by introducing ourselves. And also, the AG is waiting for his colleague who said he's on the way, not far from here, but we can be introducing each other. I'm Beatrice Ngobo, chairing this committee. On my left is Jerry Botina, whom you all know. On the right is Busiso Kuzwayo, whom you all know. And then starting from my right, Busiso.
Morning, my name is Busiso Makubela. I'm a member of this portfolio committee representing the African National Congress.
Morning, Chair. My name is Manu Masehela, member of this committee, representing the African National Congress from Limpopo Province. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Patricia Adams. I'm from the Northern Cape, and I represent the ANC in this committee.
Good morning. My name is Jay Sports. I'm the DA spokesperson for tourism, and I'm from Western Cape.
Good morning, Chair and members. I'm Russell Tawakulo, representing IC from Kedan. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tembalam Kako, all the way from the Eastern Cape Province, representing the African National Congress in the committee. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Sim Sasipaso, a British Secretary for the 2% of this committee. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. Ismail Hussain from PMG.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pumkinto Lee, and I'm a researcher for the committee.
Good morning. It's Melanie Tank, part of the MP liaison officer.
Good morning, committee. I'm Sophia Paragamanek from the National Department of Tourism.
Good morning. I'm Robo ZSDB, Director General Audit from the National Department of Tourism.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Pieter Sanitak, PLO from the Office of the Director General.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Soli Sowa. I'm the Corporate Executive from the Auditor General of South Africa. I'm waiting for my colleague who is the subject matter expert on this particular issue. So I hope he will be here in a minute from now. He's indicated he's making his way here.
Thank you. Honourable members, there's been a request from Jerry that we approve the minute of the 19th and 26th because they've got to go to the ATC. While waiting, I'm sure we can do that.
Chair, can I just indicate to committee members, we did look at there some challenges in the catering session, but we are told that somebody was supposed to prepare our breakfast was a little bit late. Now they are busy doing that now. I'm sure, because when are they coming? 5 minutes, 10 minutes time? Yeah, but they are coming. So it means we don't have a tea outside. They will come at any time. So I would suggest from the chair when they arrive, maybe we can take that for 2 minutes or 1 minute to take something for the committee. And then with the apology, I've got two in front of me, an apology from Honorable Begwa and apology from Honorable Whitfield. Those are the two apologies we have received.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Jerry. Could you close the door, please? Thank you. Kumbok, you just did introductions by a second. Can you just tell us who you are?
Thanks, Jerry. Sorry, I was hard up at the gate. Getting in, there was some parking problems. I'm wanted to get in and out. My name is Greg Humbuck. I represent the Democratic Alliance from the province of KwaZulu-Natal.
Okay, thank you. I wonder then if we can quickly go over the minutes so that Jerry is able to put them into the ATC. The minutes of the 19th of February. Are we to page 3?
Page 4, paragraph 2.4, the second bullet, domestic tourism investment, the last sentence of that paragraph, this is a gradual process and hence the short-lived and my first choice campaigns have been born. The, if my memory serves me correct, it is the my first time campaign and not the my first choice campaign.
You very well
said. Continue, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Second last bullet from the bottom of the page, under the heading maintenance of star grading standards. It was explained that the grading council had an annual grading system and grading standards were checked on an annual basis. Again, I think the intention of the grading council is to continuously grade and not grade on an annual basis. I think that might be interpreted incorrectly if it states that it is an annual grading system. I think one should maybe reword the paragraph to say it is explained to the grading council, grades continuously and that grading standards were checked on an annual basis because grading standards are checked annually as part of the annual report, but grading is continuous. And then the last bullet point, Madam Chair, about the legislative review. The Grading Council should consider making a legislative review proposal during the legislative review process to make grading in South Africa free but compulsory. I think that's the point that we deliberated upon as part of our thinking, but it's not a conclusion that it should be free and compulsory. I think that's just part of our thinking at the time that is the reason why we're asking for a review. And again, Madam Chair, just to make sure, because these committee minutes once the budget becomes part of the record, so I think one must just make sure.
And the procedure,
so we perhaps rephrase to say that is part of the thinking, but not that it is a conclusion yet, because it must be workshopped with the stakeholders before we come to that type of conclusion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes. And the last page.
Mm-hmm.
Can we come back to the last paragraph of page 4 on the issue of the
The
deliberations that were about affordability. Maybe we can rephrase the sentence by saying create a cabinet to make trading affordable, because the issue was about affordability.
For small businesses.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The last paragraph.
Madam Chair, on page 5, under the paragraph decisions, to just extend on what the Honourable Member has referred to, I think the last 2 bullets, that particular deliberation could be easily included there to say that work towards enhancing the credibility of the grading system, enhance and effectively communicate the relevant basket of benefits, and to consider the affordability of joining the grading council. Because that then forms part of the deliberations. Because the affordability was the issue, because you are excluding some small businesses from trading because of the affordability. And then to extend that debate to consider whether it should be free, compulsory, etc., etc.
So, the
paragraph
6. Thank you very much. If you can just allow us to do the second one, then it's done. Thanks.
I move for the amendment to the adoption, Madam Chair.
The second? Thank you. For the 26th of February, it was a presentation from HSRC. The receipt, which was very good. Actually, we continued this meeting because it was more of an informative type of meeting than not necessarily responsible to us, but they've got information that would support tourism. That supports tourism actually.
Madam Chair, perhaps not a correction, but just a question. On page 4, the recommendation from the Human Resources Research Council, I'm very interested to read that. The very first recommendation talks about
Human Research.
Yes. Talks about a centre for tourism research to enhance linkages between organisations doing tourism research and stakeholders in government and the tourism industry.
Which one is that now?
The first bullet.
Okay.
That particular recommendation is a very good one, and is it going to be communicated to the NDT and SAT for possible inclusion in their thinking? There are several other recommendations which are very useful, but that particular one, because most of the work we do is based on research, so that we spend the money correctly and in the right programs. So I just want to find out from you, all the committee secretaries, whether these regulations will in fact go to NDT and SAT for planning, etc.
Actually, after they presented, we checked with them if they do have conversations with the department. And they said, at the present moment, they are doing a human resource development strategy for the department. And then when I checked with the department told us that it does communicate with HSRC. HSRC, but maybe we can check with the DG also around this information. Or we can actually share our minutes with them.
At this stage, still looking at the as to whether there are a fair reflection on it. Yeah, I've had a number of substantive inputs into that meeting, mainly on the economic measuring side of things. And if you remember, there weren't many people at the meeting. But those of us who were, they will remember, I looked at the Limpopo and the Western Cape amongst other issues I raised.
And it says, and
yes, correct. And I complimented the HSRC on their work, but I said it's very difficult to form conclusions unless one had a benchmark, unless one knew what one was striving for. One wasn't able to measure the efficacy of the inputs and whether they actually produced the outputs we're looking for. I can't remember every single thing I've said, and I certainly don't want to repeat it now, but I made two or three substantive points in that vein, and none of that has been captured. I'm just wondering why that is. Sorry, I mean, there is a whole section on committee deliberation, which goes on for a page, and I think there's only four members there. We weren't quorate for most of the meeting, but then we became quorate. Everybody else's inputs have been captured.
Jerry said it's got under 2.4. HSRC was looking into the labor regime. Yeah. But it was looking into employment and it was working, doing a cross-provincial study. This time around they did a study with the Limpopo and the Western Cape. And actually, we did mention that there were quite a lot of disparities between these two provinces.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. I mean, I can really recognize my input in that paragraph. I think Jerry is agreeing with me. So that was the second point I made. I made a point, and I think the Honourable Fox might remember, about labour market flexibility in that particular industry. And how it was a very good industry, and I made some points about how it needed to get up in a different kind of way. But my main substantive inputs were measuring what government and therefore taxpayers had contributed towards these initiatives. And we needed to have a kind of benchmark to measure whether it was working or not. So that hasn't been captured at all. And I've recognized myself in that first error. So maybe we can just I don't want to make any sure of it, but in future, if it can be more like how I said it, and not the least substantive points of what I said, it doesn't really capture my main thrust at all.
But maybe can you assist just...
Yeah, I'll
get to Jerry.
I'll contact you later.
Yeah, and then... Give it to Jerry so that he will select it here.
I'll be there.
Taking the time. Welcome, Tammy, but you can introduce yourself.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me just start with the introduction. I have introduced myself. Tammy Zikote is the leader of the business unit that was responsible for this particular review, And Tammy interacts a lot with the department, and obviously the teams that have carried out the assignment. So his contribution will come valuable. So I'm sure he will make the wait worthwhile. So, Chair, without any further ado, I'll just hand over to Tammy to take us through the presentation, which deals with the review of the draft APP for 2016-17 financial year. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. As the purpose of today's briefing is just to give the professional committee the audit insight on the interim review that we've done in the draft internal performance plan of the department. This process was actually started about 2 years ago, where we actually looked at the APP while it is still in draft, just to make sure that the department improves the quality of the APP, so that at least by the time when we come in auditing the next financial year, which in this case was the 16-17, we do not have issues with regard to the issue of the document that we can be looking at. Then moving over to slide number 4, this is a high-level generative presentation of what the AG has done when it comes to the APP review. We look at a number of issues there, with the first issue being that does the APP align with the MTSF. Once we have verified that the APP is indeed aligned with the MTSF, we look at whether the indicators are relevant and complete. When we say the indicators are relevant and complete, we look at that in line with the issue of is there a logical link between the objectives, indicators, and the targets that the department wants to achieve. Once that is done, we get to the next step of evaluating whether all the targets meet the SMART criteria. I'll talk briefly in the slides ahead on the SMART criteria. We take a look at the adequacy of the human resource and financial human resource and financial capabilities of the department. In other words, is the department capacitated with the required skills, and does the department have sufficient financial means to achieve the annual performance plan? Once you've done that, we look at the ways in which the department is going to be assessing on how the APP will be achieved, that is in terms of performance contract and other monetary mechanisms that are in the department. We then review quarterly progress against APP targets, which is now done in the year that is happening. Then we review the annual achievement against APP targets. Then review track changes to strategic plans and annual performance report. I think in this note, overall what we're saying is we come in, we look at the draft before it gets approved, but the view is not to instruct or tell the department what needs to be in the APP. But we say, while it's in the APP, is it something that can be audited? Is it something that can be credible? When one looks at it, you can be able to justify what you've done looking at the type of evidence that is saying we're going to be providing. So that's all that is on the APP. Then the next slide here, we just included a bit of the criteria, which is a criteria that is actually included in the framework for managing program performance information. It talks about a number of criteria, which is reliable, well-defined, verifiable, cost-effective, appropriate, and relevant. So what this criteria is trying to do is trying to channel the department in the right direction and actually look at its MPP. In other words, it says, if you, for an example, need to say your indicator is reliable, that indicator should be accurate enough for its intended use and the response to the changes of the level of performance. So that's a form of guidance that is given on the reliability. On the well-defined part, it says the indicator is to be clear and ambiguous. Those are the two key issues that you pick up from that line. Because once you start having ambiguity, then it becomes a challenge even from the audit side. Because when you require the audit evidence that supports what you said, then you start having problems because you're not clear on what is it that you're going to be substantiating your aim with. On verifiability, we talk about the validation processes and systems that produce the indicator. Cost effectiveness and the usefulness of the indicator must justify the cost of the collection of data. Then, appropriate, the indicator must at all times avoid unintended consequences and encourage self-delivery improvements and not give managers incentive to carry out the activities simply to meet particular targets. And then the last one is the relevant, which says the indicator must relate logically and directly to the aspect of the institution's mandate. So this chair is just an extract of the FMPPI, which we thought was going to be available to first get sight of before we proceed in terms of the presentation of what we picked up. Then the next slide talks to the SMART criteria, which I said earlier on, I'm going to elaborate on. The SMART criteria actually itself is a criteria of a specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound objective. So for an objective to be SMART, it needs to meet all of those criteria and not some. Therefore, the nature and the required level of performance must be clearly identified so that the target can be specific. The required performance needs to be measurable. So that means at any point in time, one can actually go and assess whether what you're doing, are you able to achieve your target or not. Achievable means that the target just needs to be realistic, given the existing capacity. Then the issue of the relevance of to the required performance lead to the achievement of a particular goal. Time-bound, the time period for the deadline for delivery is specified. So when you set a target, there needs to be a clear indication in terms of when do I think I'm going to realize or meet this particular target. Open-ended targets do not work because at times nobody knows when it's going to be achieved, and then it also becomes a problem for us when we audit, because we can't pin it down and say, but according to your words, you said you're going to do it by this time. If that is not a thing for the issue. Then, Chair, the next two slides contain a few examples. I'm not going to waste time on those two examples, Chair. But if there's any members that have got perhaps questions on these examples later on, we can discuss them. I'm going to move straight to page 9, where the heading is the after review of the draft APP for 2016-17. There, Chair, we're giving an overview of the process itself, where we say we undertook two processes, which is the review process and the reporting phase. In the review process, we assessed the process followed by the department to prepare and submit the strategic plans and ATP. We assessed the measurability and relevance of the final draft indicators and the target plan for the selected program. Once we did that, then we had engagement amongst ourselves. And then we actually read a few findings from the review, and these were communicated to management. And these findings are communicated in the interim management report just to enable the change to be made. Therefore, when you look at the 2016-17 financial year management and the whole report, you're not going to pick up these issues again, because by the time the document gets approved, management will then effect the recommendation of the AG, and therefore got rid of the issues before the approval process. Then the findings relevant to the interim review do not have an impact over the conclusion, so this is what I just said. So all in all, what we're trying to do here is just to say, before the document gets approved, let's get to the required level, then by doing that, we can at least say, we assisting the department in actually trying to achieve the clean OAR, the clean audit, and the clean administration. Then in the next slide, Chair, it talks to the criteria used to assess the APP, and some of these criteria have actually spoken about the measurability of indicators and targets, the relevance of indicators and targets. And when we talk of the measurability, we talk to the indicators being well-defined, indicators verifiable, and targets that are specific, measurable, time-bound. So on the measurability, you'll see that we're only referring to the SMART criteria, while on the relevance part, we're referring to the indicator and targets that are relevant to the mandate and realization of the strategic goals and objectives. Chair, the next slide, just talk to the slides of that just comparison of the budget for the department, that's year 1560 and year 1617. That's just to give an overview of where the department is geared towards in terms of the direction and the strategic intent. The most significant item that I'd like to highlight is that when you look at the budget, on the administration part, there's just been a small increase of about 2%, whereas in policy and knowledge services, there's about 6%. On international tourism, there's an increase of 16%, while on domestic tourism, there's 45% increase compared to 2016. And then in total, there's about a 12% increase in the budget of 16-17 when comparing to the 15-16. And then the attention you see, Chair, that the major increase is actually on the domestic tourism, followed by a little bit increase in the international tourism space. The next slide, Chair, highlights the budget analysis of the department by economic classification. The first slide talks to the department in terms of how do the department then do with budget in terms of some of the budget that falls outside of the department that you said, for example. The department, the current status of the department, when you look here now, this is the 16-17 picture. The current payment around the 10%, while the payment for capital assets is at 6%, and 61% will be the transfers and subsidies. When you look at the percentage of budget spent on employee remuneration, that's now the budget of the department, so it's within the department, and this is only the department, you can see that 14% of the budget will be spent on employee cost, while the 86% will be spent on anything else other than employee cost. Now, moving to the review findings, Chair, in the next slide, you see that we've got two columns there. One column with an X, which is the measurability, which talks to the criteria that I spoke about earlier on, which is the SMART criteria, that only the place where we had findings on the relevant part, we never had any findings. And I'm going to take you to the next slide just to give the two examples on what the issues. If you look at program 2, for an example, policy and knowledge services, the indicator there is that number of tourism attractions supported to enhance destination competitiveness. But when you look at the target talks about three initiatives. Those initiatives, the target says we're going to monitor the implementation of enhancement or development plans for the three identified sites. Then you get to establishment of harvest gauges as shown, Palabora Wildlife Activity, and establishment of a tourism interpretation center. The challenge that we're having with and target that is actually structured in this particular manner. Now, first of all, when you look at the framework for managing program performance information, it says you will meet all the criteria. So it needs to be clear what will be done at the Palabora Wildlife Activity Hub. That clarity needs to be there. When you look at the establishment of an access gate at Eshowen, it needs to be clear what the department going to be doing, what is within the department's control in ensuring that that access gate is established and desirable. The establishment of a tourism interpretation center at the National Heritage Museum, the department needs to be sure what will it do. In other words, will the museum be built within the, will the tourism interpretation center be built within the museum, by whom, at what point, and all those are criteria that talks to SMART. In other words, these were so generic that when you look at the SMART criteria in the framework, it left a lot to be desired. And we had an engagement with the department to say, these are the recommendations, you need to update this, and the department said they were happy they would update that plan, but so far, we haven't had a look at the final draft document before it gets tabled, but those are the issues we picked up. Then another example we picked up also, on indicator number 6, the three priority areas supported during the pilot phase, which is market access, tourism, training, and energy efficiency. There is also no clarity there on what is the department exactly going to do. For an example, if I'm saying energy efficiency, as a department, what am I doing? Am I going to be subsidizing someone to ensure that their establishment is energy efficient so that at a later stage then they can perhaps reduce the accommodation cost or what? That is not clarity. We need a little bit more in terms of clarity. What is it that the department is going to do on that? What is tourism grading? The same issue that we have. What about the tourism grading? What is the department going to do about the tourism grading? Market access. How are you going to do this? Who is going to be responsible for it? Are you going to be providing support? If yes, it's support. What support are you going to be providing? So that when you come in with it, we don't say, you said you're going to provide a workshop, but you didn't provide a workshop instead you had a meeting. So we're hearing those early on in the process. So those were the issues of the SMART criteria. Then on all the programs, one issue that we picked up that we're also discussing with management is the issue of the absence of a chemical indicator description for all indicators including the ATP. This is a document that the department normally prepares upfront in line with the objectives and the targets, and in that document they will say, for this particular type, this is the kind of evidence you could have to support our deliverables at the end. So without that document, it becomes very difficult to conduct an audit. Then, on the identified root cause chair, we said it's leadership, and when we looked at the leadership, we said it's just an issue of a slow response. Why we say slow response chair? Normally, when we get a finding, we actually look, the first thing that we assess, is it the first time that we get this issue? If not, that means it's the second time that the issue is happening, or at the time, or whatever the case might be. But then the challenge is, we did it up the first time. We gave the leadership the recommendation, while the recommendation is not implemented. So if the leadership didn't implement those recommendations, that means their response is very slow in dealing with these issues that we are picking up as auditors. So the biggest issue that we said needs to be done, that detailed reviews should be done, performed by those tasked with the responsibility for these functions within the department against the applicable framework, so that they ensure that when that draft document is finalized, it does meet the SMART criteria. Then the second issue we said is consequence management that should be implemented within the department. And what is the consequence management here? I need to highlight that a lot of people, when they say consequence, they think we're saying people get, should be disciplined. I think the second point is to say, what was the problem? Was it an issue of skill and competence, or was it an issue of just negligence? So that you can provide the appropriate level of consequence. Because when you say consequence, you say, you've identified that there's something that hasn't done. If it is an issue of skill, capacitate the particular person so that they can have their required skill and knowledge, so that going forward they can prepare the correct document. If they do have the skill, they do have the competence, they have provided the guidance, they were given all the required tools, then it should be a matter of discipline. What is it then that you want to implement to ensure that this doesn't happen going forward? So, Chair, those were the issues when it comes to the draft APP of the department. And I think at this stage, we will welcome questions from the members.
Thanks for the presentation. An open discussion for honourable members, but as after having responded, please do tell us about the treatment of extended public works program. Over to you, honourable members. Honourable Fawaz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the starting point is that this is a good engagement for our committee to see exactly what, where are those shortfalls. Because year after year we receive the annual performance plan of the department, and several indicators have been selected with specific targets set to those indicators. And with reference to the two that were identified as particular areas of concern, the number of tourist attractions supported on, and the next one, the number of priority areas incentivized to facilitate sustainable growth. Those are the vague indicators, and I think the Auditor General is spot on in his assessment that the department should be much more clearer in identifying outcomes. And it's almost as if this specific exercise is playing oversight over the department like a watchdog. And it's good, because that's what is required, because when the department presents their claims to us, we agree to it because it makes sense to us to support tourism attractions that will enhance destination competitiveness. It makes sense for us to agree to priority areas that will provide incentives to do tourism growth and development. But when we go down to the actual detail, that's where the department is falling short. And so therefore, I would like to know what is the outcome. You did mention that you did engage the department and that they have presented you with a draft document that you will then scrutinize. But what will happen after that particular engagement? Will we as a committee receive concrete outcomes to those indicators? the who, the when, the what, the budget allocation, the time frames, etc. Because that makes it very much a worthwhile exercise. Otherwise, it's simply just going to tick the boxes. Because I think this is a very good engagement, and I would have loved to be a fly on the wall when the department and the Auditor General actually went through the indicators. Because I think this is perhaps just a drop in the ocean. Because many of our department indicators are very vague, to be quite honest. Because it speaks to the issue of growing the tourism industry, of providing incentives, providing growth, providing support. But what is that actual support if you want to quantify it and if you want to measure it and put a time frame on it so that we can move on to the next program? So I would like to hear specifically in terms of those type of dialogues, and then how do you complete it so that in fact our committee could then perform its function. Then the last point I want to make, Madam Chair, is with regards to leadership. Now, you resolved that there will be detailed reviews of specific officials who are tasked with the responsibility of functions within the department. A big thing for me, and I'm sure that the committee would agree with me, is the fact that the department failed to build these affordable resorts. There are some of these sites that have not been handed over yet. There are various reasons why some of these projects have not come off the ground. And it actually all comes down to poor management, because that is one of the things that we have identified in the Eastern Cape as part of our oversight, where we visited one of these resorts and contractors have simply walked away with money that have been paid over, etc. Now, we know that that is an important part of our department's program, is to build these resorts, and it's been built by the department as a project manager, as the lead agent, with taxpayers' money. And I think there's a big lack in that particular aspect. So what are your findings in terms of those resorts? I think it comes to about 52 million rand that have not been spent adequately in delivering these affordable resorts. So what are your findings in that regard? Because we have simply been told that it's police reports that must take its course, but I really believe that your department has a very critical role to play in making sure that money is allocated accordingly and that it is spent correctly on those projects. So if at all, if that came up in your analysis, and what are your findings in this regard? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Let me upfront welcome the presentation by the Office of the Auditor General. I think what I must put up front is that they have come at the right time, because the APB is still a draft. I think they are arming us not just to rubber stamp or agree on whatever that will be presented to us. At least we will look at the APP from a different angle now. We look at the relevance of the target and whatever they have proposed to us. I also think the fact that they have reminded us of our responsibilities as a committee, because in my first engagement with the Office of the Auditor General, I asked them a question: who is auditing them as Auditor General? And they told us. I am now thanking them and also the body that is auditing them, because I think they are all also assisting us. Nonetheless, the person, I was just trying to make a point that I see it as they are not only looking at how the monies are used, also looking at the performance plan of the department, and that is what is good to me. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Looking forward to that APP of the department. I share my other comments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the Office of the AG for the presentation. It was a bit short. I should think they should have elaborated far, far more on this topic. Does this mean, when we receive the APP, that it is clear from any that is clean, that is clean from any lack of things that should be there. That doesn't just mean that. Because you said you have done a pre-audit. The other thing is about semantics. How do you set a target? Is there a way, a uniform way, how targets should be set? And you see the word measurable. In my former life, I was a teacher. And when I mark a topic, I have a chart there. I look at the language, all those things, and then I measure it there. How do you measure when there isn't a chart that you can measure? Is it when it is, the target is reached? And the other thing is target setting. Some targets are reached and some are not reached. Where targets are not reached, isn't that I get this. But isn't that a target is you have reached more than your target? Exceeded your target. Wasn't that a fact that your target wasn't set correctly, and that you just want to prove something? Then and how do you, I'm specifically speaking to the page on criteria used to access the draft APB. I said previously, to me it's a mess of semantics. When is a thing in your eyes well defined? When is it variable and measurable? Should that be in a document to say, now we have reached, this is the measurement? Thank you, Chief. I think I was a bit, I hope they understand what I am driving to. But I want a document that says, this must be done in that and that and that way.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me comment the Solicitor General for the presentation that you got. But I've got only one comment here to say, is it possible for them to give us just an example of one APP that it will be smart and so on, so that you can show the example, how they expect it to look like. Just one example to take us through it so that we are able to see what we mean by being smart and so on, so that we're also in the position to check when we are oversight in the department.
Thank you very much. And as I mentioned before, I hope the AG will actually inform us about the extended public health program, which is booked as social responsibility implementation. That's where a lot of the budget is wasted. And the honorable members, I think when we look at the APP, we must look at it with this view this time around, because the APP is going to be, is being today's death.
Yes.
Yeah, it is being tabled today. So it's really in the ATC. So we've got to look at it so that we're able to actually engage properly and thoroughly when the department comes to give us a report on the APP. I think this will be after we return from Easter recess. And where we've got problems with the APP, the department will have to make an addendum. And this addendum must actually be signed by the minister to say we need this addendum to the APP, because
the committee was not happy about it. Actually, we members, so we can just go and get and grab a cup and come back. So, also, it has become very important. I think we have put on when we acted, requested, and even forced the department to come and give us the quarterly report, because we got a lot of misinformation out of the quarterly report. But I'll hand over to you, AG, to make comments on these various issues.
Chair, I'm going to try and cover all the points that the members have raised. Even though some of the points, I talked to them simultaneously because some of them, they are turning to them. On the issue of what will come to the portfolio committee, I think what will come to the portfolio committee is an ATT that is much more credible than what we've actually looked at. And that is based on the fact that the department accepted the audit findings and they accepted the recommendations and made a commitment that they will implement those recommendations prior to getting the ATP to be signed and tabled. So that's a commitment got from the department. On the issue of the affordable resource share, the sites not handed over in poor management, I think those are some of the issues that when you look at our report, which I highlighted around the issue of self-investigation that were raised investigation that were carried out and which are waiting for management to implement now what the recommendations of those are. The only issue here that we normally face is that when we look at the issue of the APP, especially when it comes now to the issue of during the year on whether you achieve or you don't achieve, if there is a site that you do not achieve, that you do not afford or do not achieve in terms of handing it over, or when you do not commit the structure, the framework says if you did not achieve that, you need to provide a reason why was that not achieved. But what the framework does not address is the issue of what happens then if you haven't achieved this what you're supposed to achieve, but you have actually utilized the full budget and funds. We now have a different debate altogether. And I think in that regard, even us as AG, when you look at that, if you satisfy the requirements of the framework, we are happy with that. But in terms of then drafting those things, then it's the responsibility of the National Treasury. So there's a thin line in terms of what we do and what Treasury does so that we do not cross over and then we can maintain also our independence. Because it also talks to the issue of when you overachieve. Overachieving as such is not necessarily a problem. But you need to drill down to say, what is the result of this overachievement? One can be, there might have been planned to actually put the targets so low that we do not miss it. Second one may be, there might be an issue of windfall gains that comes into the picture. For an example, I'm implementing this particular initiative with the view to increase the international tourism numbers, but at the same time, the rand is falling, meaning South Africa is now a cheaper destination. Even the people that haven't actually seen that program that I'm running to actually promote South Africa are also going to come to South Africa. Now, it's a windfall gain. If you think about it. So the number of things that needs to be looked at when one interrogates why there was over or under achievement before an assessment can be made on what is the appropriate action that needs to be taken. On the issue of does the APP is the APP okay if it is clear of all things that should be there, the two issues that we normally look at, as I said earlier on. When you look at these issues, we cannot say, for an example, Department X, we've seen your APP, but in our view, this is 1, 2, 3, in addition to what you have that is supposed to have been there, that we don't do. So we only focus on what the department has put into their own APP and tell them whether it is smart and it meets all the criteria. And on the issue of whether he's smart or not. There is a very good guidance, which is called the framework for managing progress development information. That framework has got examples of the target, got examples of indicators, got examples of the technical indicators, the screening document. It's got even example of if, for an example, you've got a target that you do not necessarily know how to measure because of its complexity. It says thou shalt select a proxy. In other words, something very close to what I want to achieve that can put me what I want to achieve. So that document is the starting point, and that's exactly what we use as the AG to evaluate the department on. So we don't come up with different things. Let's say, according to this, you're supposed to have 1, 2, 3. Do we have those? And if we have it, then we go off. That's how we measure on our part. So the issue of how are the targets set, the targets are set looking at the mandate of the department, but making sure that when we set the target, it meets the requirements of the framework. When we measure, we need to have a number, which is particularly in the framework is referred to as the issue of measurable. For an example, there is a slide check which I said I'm going to skip. A slide with the example at the top, which just shows an indicator there and a target that we set. This target is an indicator-based definition framework. It says new 10 is 10. So the number, you've got the number. 10 new tourist guides trained and placed at the cradle of humankind by 31st October 2016. There's no business. The department can do whatever it wants. Us as auditors, when we come and we come and audit on the 31st of October, we want to see 10 new guides and numbers. So it's easy. There's not really a difficult. But when you get the second one, increase the number of guides at which they reach site. Increase from 1 number to 1 number. From 2 to 3 is an increase. 10 to 50 also an increase. But most important, at what point do you increase? Is it in the first quarter, second quarter, the third quarter, is it for the year? So those are the kind of challenges that we look at when we get the SPP. Then, Chair, I think this talks to the example of the SMART that was raised by the memo. So the issue of the ECWPJ, I think we grappled with one issue. The department did make a submission to the AG on how they plan to account for this ECWP programs. That's not accounting side of things. But the challenge that we have is that what the department is planning to do needs to be informed by the modified cash standard. Because the modified cash standard is a standard that is set by the National Treasury to say the department is going to comply with these requirements in preparation of their financial statement. Therefore, when we come and we audit, we look at what the modified cash standard says and what the department has done. Then we contrast the two. If the department has done everything that the modified cash standard said they should do, they are okay from the accounting perspective. The challenge comes in when the department has done something which is not clearly defined in the modified cash standard, which was now what the accountant general needed to clarify, not just tourism, is a number of departments in the same boat, where this modified cash standard needs to actually be beefed up, provide guidance on how to deal with the accounting issue for the EPWP. Hence, when we audit and we report, in the audit report, we said we normally say we have audited these financial statements in line with that particular standard. Once there is a major deviation to that particular standard, we then assess how significant is this. Is this significant enough to do away or impair the presentation? If it has that, there's nothing else other than modified opinion that the department is going to get. If it is not significant enough, then it might be a matter of an emphasis or other better paragraphs, dependent on the assessment that is done. However, John, this issue, the reason why I'm saying we're grappling with something is the fact that the person that needs to authorize what the department said they couldn't do is the person responsible for the modified cash standard, and that is the accountant general. At this stage, we know it for a fact, the accountant general hasn't been appointed yet. So that's the challenge that we're facing. But I think the promise that we actually made to the department as age is that we continue to engage them before the 1st of March, so that by the time we reach that particular date, we know exactly where they stand, where we stand as the AG, so that we don't come July and all of a sudden start disagreeing on what should go into the audit report or how is the audit opinion going to be looking. So on our part, meetings that are even happening at the office level to have discussions around these matters so that we can at least try and resolve by the end of this month. So we're just hoping that something can come. Because what we actually raise is the fact that even if the content general is not there, someone is acting. I mean, because president is not around the country, there is an acting president. Why can't an accountant general? Why can't we have an acting accountant general if there's no accountant general? So that's the issue that we're trying to address.
Tell me, what's your name? In some September, October, we'll be interrogating the annual report. So that's another sore in the garden. Because some of the things don't speak to the president and some don't speak to the entity. In such instances, where do we stand?
See, I think what we started, I think it's 2 years ago, like last year when we came and presented our audit report, that what we're doing there, we're trying to influence that particular process. But see, I think what is going to be critical again is that before the department comes, is that we come and praise you on what you've seen, and maybe even take it a step further to say, yes, we've audited, not just praise you on just the audit report and the performance information, but everything else that's going to be contained in the annual report. Just so that by the time the department comes, then you are informed of the issues that you need to probe even further, if there's a need to probe even further. But last year we did come, the only focus that last year, the focus was only on what was contained in the audit report. So we can try to do our engagement just to see if there's any specific areas that we can perhaps assist in just in sort of giving that process a bit of a bit of insight.
Thank you. Any additional other thoughts?
The Auditor General Office, ladies and gentlemen, could bring an APP of an unknown department. And we do the exercise to process. Because only in that way we will be sharpened to look at that process. Even if it is only a quarterly, with the mandate and all that, so that we can go, perhaps we should do a workshop, a monthly workshop on that in the new year. Thank you. That's my suggestion.
This is the new year. You mean the next new year?
No, financial.
Okay. Number four.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to take the Honourable Adams' request one step further to ask whether it would not be possible to actually receive the full report. You have highlighted this particular example, but it's an example for us to understand the dynamic of SMART, which I really understand. But then you highlighted the two indicators, 5 and 6, plus the additional one about leadership and perhaps the one about the technical issues. But do you have perhaps your findings on all of the various indicators? I'm sure it can only be those two or three. Would you be willing to make available your report on the full findings of tourism's annual performance plan so that we could use that particular report as part of our deliberations in September? So I think it will be very useful.
Actually, before you respond, the last time though I was so bad improved, they had a problem with technology.
Thanks, Chair. I think on the issue of the workshop, Chair, the request, if there is a formal request from the committee, the NGO does actually send the members to control that particular workshop. And in fact, we do have a division that deals with the PDOs. That is the division that normally even provide those workshops, take you through the whole process of the AED and the like. On the issue of the report, Chair, I engage the team this afternoon and see what is it that you can assist the committee with, but surely we can have a clearer position, just pick up high-level issues that we raise, but then we can have, even if it's an extent, just how we actually looked at these things. How did you conclude and when did you come from in getting to this conclusion that you can provide to the Chair, if that would be sufficient?
Madam Chair, sorry, if I may ask, have you also said that we have one entity called the South African Tourism?
Does it?
Do you also do auditing on them? Because most of the work done by the department is done through the entity, and that would also be very useful because quarterly we receive reports from them that indicate various indicators, so information overload. And I think the way that you've done it today using the SMART mechanism really unpacks it much more easier for us to understand what is the indicator, when must it be done, who is responsible, etc. So do you also do your entities' findings?
Not the entities at this stage. When we started with this process, we only started at department level, and the hope is to see whether we actually reaping the benefits of this process. And once we see that there is benefit for the process, then we're going to roll it to the entities as well. Chair, on the technology problem, I think the issue is that when we normally put, if we can't rely on what we normally have in your technology, we use other means to audit. You might find that even though you have problems in your technology, but from our side, we're still able to get the information that we want to get because we use other means. In other words, there's a term that's used in auditing where we audit around the computer and not audit through the computer. So that's the issue, Chair. You might have a technology issue, but we are able to get our evidence. Thank you.
So did we have the last word?
Chair, thanks, and thanks to the honourable members, in particular feedback that you have provided, and we'll take some of the recommendations that you've made, and we'll come back with any outstanding documents that is required. Once more, thanks and thank you for giving that detailed input that members requested. Thank you, Chair.
If nobody has any last words, I would just say thank you to the AC, and we'll keep communicating so that the committee is really, really tip-top when it comes to the annual report, because that's where things are happening. And actually, there are some programs that are not very happy at all when it comes to the quarterly reports with the department. But I'm sure they're going to sort them out because we pointed it out very clearly. But I think you are also supporting us to understand what is happening with the budget that the department is appropriated. So on that happy note, we'd like to thank the Office of the Auditor General very much for the information, and also to thank you, committee members, thank you very much for the engagement and the active participation. Yeah, and I think we invite the Office of the Auditor General when we return from our Easter recess. Thank you very much. The committee is adjourned.
I'm going to be disappointed at all. My boss likes value for money. He likes longer reports.
No,